Well, hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Office Hours. We shall once again be playing Top of the Slops, or if you prefer it, we've got this menu. We're going to be looking at Dave Smith, Alexander Mercuris, Novara Media, Dr. Steve Turley, Tim Pool, Tucker Carlson again apparently, Kierno Damo, and JF Garape. I don't know why Tucker is listed twice there. We'll have to use this one. Yes. These eight people we shall be reviewing. And yet again, we're going to be asking the audience to choose who shall be second. I have already taken the decision of who is going to... hold on. I've already taken the decision of who is going to be first, and that person is going to be Dr. Steve Turley. It's going to be Dr. Steve Turley. But let's first of all give... Right, who shall follow Dr. Steve? Do you know what? Forget about democracy. Forget about it. I don't think the vote feature worked that well last time. I shall decide. I shall use my executive... I should use my Schmittian right to do it. Speaking of Carl Schmitt, there's a little bit of new content I have planned for the channel in the next couple of weeks. I have done something called a Great Thinkers series, where I'm going to be looking at all of the people you should know. You know, I'm starting with Oswald Spengler, going through Carlyle, Evelyn, Arnold Toynbee, Mosca, Pareto, Michels, Carl Schmitt. And I'm going to keep on going. I think we're going to have a little break from the kind of daily slop cycle, because I feel like far too many among you no longer know the ABCs or the basics. So I am returning to the educational roots of the channel. I was actually having a look at what my best performing videos of all time are, and they're actually, apart from the famous Jeremy Clarkson Sadiq Khan one, all of the others are educational. In fact, I got the old Sloppinator to run analytics on all of my videos ever, and they said out of the top 100 videos I've ever done, like about 90% of them are educational, not news. I was like, well, okay. Maybe, if the Sloppinator agrees, well, we might disagree. So we're going to, we're going to return to a bit of educational stuff. And instead, the Office Hours will be the dedicated place for new slop, essentially. And today we're going to be discussing what exactly has been achieved in this much trumpeted Trump-Iran deal. What's actually happened? Steve Turley and Tim Pool are celebrating it like some massive 4D chess win for Trump. The other side of the ledger, like people like Alexander Mercuris, Novara Media, are saying it's a massive humiliation for the USA and a huge win for Iran. Others are a little bit in between. So we're going to, over the course of the stream, figure out exactly what's going on through reviewing the Top of the Slops. Now, we're going to do about 10 minutes of each. We're going to watch all of the videos of each of these, but we're going to watch about 10 minutes or so. Before we get going, I have a brand new, speaking of education. The guy saying revisit economics. You're in some luck, sir, because tomorrow morning, and I expect you all to watch it, even if you don't care about economics, give it a watch so the algo can find other people who are into economics. I have a video all about, it's called Everything You Know About Economic Cost. What if everything you know about economic cost is wrong? And the whole thesis of that video is that cost, economic cost, is purely a psychological phenomenon, aka it's all in your head, aka all cost is sunk cost, aka all cost is opportunity cost. Yeah, that is a pretty in-depth economics video. So if you're into economics, you're in luck, because there's an hour-long lecture coming tomorrow. I've been wanting to make that video for years at this point, and I finally did it yesterday. Speaking of economics, economics is one of the seven courses that you can get in my brand new bundle, the Ultra Bundle, which collects every single course I've ever done in one tremendous package, can be yours for a mere £1,000, which is actually a paltry sum. If you bought all the courses individually, you'd spend double that. So I'm basically giving you 50% off all the courses. Buy it now, the Ultra Bundle. I'm going to play my brand new ad. And when we come back, we're going to be doing the top of the slops.
Ultra Bundle! Seven courses. Shakespeare! Research! The Trivium! Economics! Politics! The Ultra Bundle! Buy it now!
So there it is. There's the Ultra Bundle advert. The Ultra Bundle advert. I'm so into it. I'm going to play it again while people are trickling in. I can't get enough.
Ultra Bundle! Seven courses. Shakespeare! Research! The Trivium! Economics! Politics! Ultra Bundle, buy it now.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. All right, so POW, yes, tell you what, the Ultra Bundle, it's gonna be a smash, I'm telling you. Okay, now speaking of smashes, we're gonna take a bit of a trip down memory lane, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, there are seven courses. What are you saying? There's only four. Seven. Shakespeare, research, economics, politics, writing, logic, and rhetoric. That's seven. Can you count? Seven, like the seven classical planets. Right? Which one of you smarty pants knows the seven classical planets? It's Sol, it's Luna, it's Mercury, it's Jupiter and Saturn. What are the other ones? Venus, of course, and what's the other? Mars. There you go, seven planets. Seven, like 7 days of the week. It's like the seven seas, like the seven kingdoms. Many other things that have got seven. So it's a sacred number, really. Anyway, we're going to take a trip down memory lane, folks, because we're going to be reviewing Dr. Steve Turley's coverage of the historic Iran deal struck by President Trump. Let's see what sort of mood he was in.
Talk Turley. Talk Turley.
All right, it's time to check in with the Patriot Professor. It's been a while. But by the way, the chap in the cut, like Sol, Luna, yeah, those are the seven classic planets. It's those seven. What are you on about? It's not Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto were added later. All right, don't think you can opine on matters that you don't know about. I'm the one who knows. It's all right. It's all right. Let's carry on. Okay, Steve Turley.
Speak, stocks are surging and the price of oil is plunging. All because President Trump just forced an Iranian concession that no prior president thought possible. The regime that held the world hostage for 47 years with a single threat of global catastrophe caved. And I'm going to show you exactly how this new peace agreement was a
I will just point out that Donald Trump started the war, created the situation, didn't need to be created, so he gets no credit for ending it. Sorry, Dr. Steve, but I know you love Donald Trump, but Trump is not a genius for starting a situation and then desperately trying to get out of it. Who's buying this?
Strategic masterstroke that no one saw coming, and how President Trump's
The strategic masterstroke of, you know, face planting in a giant shit and then, you know, eventually trying to get the shit off your face. What a genius. Oh, I just stepped in this rake and broke my own nose, but, you know, through the genius move of going to have reconstructive surgery, paying thousands of pounds, I've got a doctor who can fix it. What a genius. Sorry, Steve, I'm not buying this narrative at all.
40 chess just checkmated Iran permanently. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, here to help you make sense of the madness. We're breaking news and analysis you're not going to get anywhere else. So you know what to do. Make sure to smack that bell and subscribe.
So let's see how Donald Trump checkmated Iran permanently, shall we?
Subscribe button. Also, every Monday night, I go live for an exclusive Q&A session with my Courageous Patriot Club members. Now, if you're not in the club yet, today's a great day to join. It's just $10 a month, less than a price of a cup of coffee each day, and you get access to my weekly Q&A and everything else we do together. So don't miss out. Scan the QR code below, and I'll see you tonight.
Hey, maybe I need a QR code for the Ultra Bundle. That would be good, wouldn't it? The Ultra Bundle QR code. I didn't think of that. The Tilster ahead of the game.
On his 80th birthday, June 14th, Flag Day, the 250th anniversary year of this great republic, President Donald J. Trump made a stunning announcement. He posted on Truth Social that the deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran was, in his words, complete. He authorized, quote, the toll-free opening of the Strait of Hormuz, and simultaneously herewith, I authorize the immediate removal of the United States naval blockade. Ships of the world.
Oh, genius move. The blockade that I didn't need to put there, that I put there as a cope in the first place, because Iran took control of the Strait, because of a war that I started that I didn't need to start. Oh, genius. Just, you've got to give it up for the man. Come on, everyone. Where's Captive Dreamer? That's it. Go. Well, just give it up for Donald Trump. Anyway, let's carry on.
World, start your engines. Let the oil flow. Pakistani Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif simultaneously announced that both sides had declared the immediate and permanent termination of military operations on all fronts, including in Lebanon, with an official signing ceremony scheduled for June 19th at the end of this week in Switzerland. Iran's deputy foreign minister confirmed that Tehran would indeed enter a 60-day ceasefire and negotiation period. And
they were already in a ceasefire. They were already in a ceasefire. They've been on a ceasefire since April. Just, I'm sorry, guys, but this is just horseshit, isn't it? I think it's time we can start rating this slop out of 10. 10 out of 10 is absolute prime slot. 1 out of 10 is informative content. I know where I'm going on it.
No longer threaten the Strait of Hormuz. The global shockwaves of the agreement are already having their effects. Stocks are surging, all the while the price of oil is plummeting. And Trump is loving every second of it, posting on Truth Social, quote, ships are starting to move, many loaded up with oil out of the Strait of Hormuz. They're going along the Southern Highway, which is totally safe, secure, and pristine. There are other areas of travel also. And it looks like we're seeing just the very beginning of this double effect of stocks surging and gas prices plummeting. And that's the...
All right. Like we haven't seen it 20 times before.
Key to this agreement with Iran. The pattern here is unmistakable. This is an America first president who applies pressure when needed and then secures results that put American interests first. Reopening that critical waterway matters.
Do you remember all that stuff about, oh, America doesn't need the Strait of Hormuz? Actually, the 52T chess genius move is that America doesn't need the Strait. That really the reason that Trump is doing this is so that Europe buys oil from America. That really the reason it's doing it is to... Do you remember all of that absolute horseshit cope? No, that's gone out the window now. Now it's in America's interest to reopen the Strait. You see why I want to get out of talking about politics, guys?
For global commerce and for lower costs at the pump here at home. And it's the kind of practical outcome that rewards firmness over endless ideologically faithful negotiations. That
somebody asking how many people watch this? Dr. Steve Turdy has huge numbers. Now, whether they're real or not is anybody's guess, but I've been noticing recently that Dr. Steve will upload a video and within 2 hours he's got 45,000 views. So clearly Dr. Steve is doing something right. Dr. Steve is doing something right and I'm doing something wrong, because I don't get 45,000 views in 2 hours. I don't get 45,000 views at all. So clearly he knows something I don't.
The neocons want. And what Trump did here is he got Iran to bend where they never conceded before. It's a fascinating development and one that so many naysayers out there are simply missing. There is a single concession here on the part of Iran that tells us literally everything we need to know about this deal, which, as Axios is reporting, which appears to be quite accurate, the deal is actually rather dull. It's surprisingly simple and straightforward, and yet it hides what is nothing less than a very real, massive admission on the part of Iran, an admission of catastrophic defeat. We have to understand.
What's the admission of defeat from Iran? I can't wait for this.
Understand that for 47 years, the Islamic Republic has held one card, one leverage point above all others over the entire world. 20% of the world's daily oil supply.
All right. So for 47 years, the leverage Iran held was the Strait of Hormuz, which is why it completely left the Strait of Hormuz untouched for the past 47 years, up until Trump stepped on a massive rake. They completely gave Trump a faffo. Trump responded with multiple tacos. And now they're giving back what would have had been available at any time for the past 50 years. This is such horseshit, Steve. Come on.
It flows through a 20-mile choke point called, of course, the Strait of Hormuz. 20%. Every energy minister in Europe, every finance minister in Asia, most especially Beijing, which gets 40% of its daily oil imports passing through that strait, every oil executive on the planet has spent decades building their strategic calculus around one unspoken premise, that Iran could anytime it wanted, close that strait.
As it has now done, as it has done since Trump started this war. As it didn't do at any time before that. So let's see.
And that the consequences would be so economically catastrophic for global oil markets, for energy prices, for the world economy, that no American president would ever push Tehran to the brink. Obama certainly didn't. Obama wouldn't even think of militarily threatening Iran.
Yeah, Obama, what a shithead. He didn't start a pointless war. Boo, smelly, stupid Obama. Probably a Muslim, isn't he? But Trump, on the other hand, my president, he did do it. He was the only one stupid enough to do it. Fucking brilliant.
Precisely because Iran's own threat was perceived as potentially so globally catastrophic. In fact, Iran never even had to make the threat explicitly. It was ambient. It was structural. It hung over every diplomatic negotiation, every sanctions discussion, every nuclear deal. But now, with this agreement that will be signed later this week, Iran is being explicit. They are openly conceding the defeat of Hormuz. Now, I thought it was about nuclear
dust or some bullshit. What happened to all that then? What happened to the pilot? Do you remember? Do you remember him? Forget what was our nickname for that officer? Oh, yes, Officer Jesus. Do you remember him? He rose on the Easter Sunday after spending a day dead, just like Jesus. Do you remember that? What happened to all that? Oh, no, actually, it's all about the Strait. The whole conflict was about the Strait, after all. Sounding a lot like 62D chess to me. 60D is 92D galactic chess is what it is.
Have to understand just how significant this is. Hormuz was their ace in the hole. Hormuz was Iran's guarantee that the world would bend to their demands. That's the key. Hormuz was Iran's guarantee that the world...
All right. Sorry, Steve. It's just absolutely shocking. Absolutely shocking. Let's see if Navarra Media is any better. This is... Over to the British left now.
To an initial fragile ceasefire, the United States and Iran have agreed what seems like a slightly more long-term peace deal. Now, as usual, the announcement was first made by Donald Trump on Truth Social. So he posted, "The deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran is now complete. Congratulations to all. I hereby fully authorize the toll-free opening of the Strait of Hormuz and simultaneously herewith authorize the immediate removal of the United States naval blockade. Ships of the world, start your engines. Let the oil flow, President Donald J. Trump." Often, sort of, we've seen Donald Trump sort of come out and say a deal is about to be made or a deal has been made. It's brilliant. And then the Iranians come out and say, "I'm not so sure, mate." This time, the Iranians confirmed that Trump was announcing a genuine agreement that they had also agreed to. On Monday, the Secretariat of Iran's Supreme National Security Council released this statement. Based on the approval of the Supreme National Security Council, the text of the Memorandum of Understanding regarding the end of war negotiations, the Islamabad talks between Iran and the United States was finalized on the evening of June the 15th. Under the agreement reached, the war and military operations on all fronts, including Lebanon, are ended immediately and permanently.
We've been down this road before. This has already happened at least twice before. And what happened twice before? Israel was like, we see your deal. We see your petty negotiations. We see your Trump plan, yada, yada, yada. I'm Benjamin Netanyahu. Boom, boom, boom. It's already happened like two or three times already. I wouldn't be surprised if Israel is bombing Lebanon right now just to say, look, told you so. We can just do whatever we want. So how is this time going to be different? Please elucidate.
Furthermore, the naval blockade against Iran is terminated immediately and completely. So we have a deal. Good news. The Strait of Hormuz will be reopened. The US will end its blockade of Iranian ports. And crucially, really important that this was included in it, Israel will in theory be forced to cease its war on Lebanon. That's why Netanyahu was not very happy about all of this. What about the issues, though, which made Trump and Netanyahu claim this war was necessary in the first place, namely the enrichment of uranium by Iran? Well, the memorandum of understanding between the two nations is still yet to be published, but reports...
Oh, right. It hasn't even been published. So how did Dr. Steve know all that stuff or what was in the deal then? Oh, right. That's an important detail that was just left out by Turley. Let's see what they have to say.
Suggest contentious issues such as Iran's nuclear program may have been kicked into the long grass to be sort of decided or debated further down the line in negotiations. And US Vice President J.D. Vance has said there are lots of details yet to be agreed.
Well, our expectation is that the Strait is going to be opened in a toll-free way for the long term. And that's the sort of thing that we're going to figure out in these technical negotiations. You know, there are a lot of very...
Now that I've not been on Twitter for a good while, I can't remember exactly when it was that I left Twitter, but it's been a good couple of weeks now. It's all so hyper-real, isn't it? It's all so fake and almost like childish in a way. I've been struggling to get into anything. Like I tried to watch the World Cup a few times. The World Cup. I've been trying to watch the World Cup. Now over to Sven Gorne. The World Cup. I've been trying to watch the World Cup, and I just can't get into it. All of the players are regens. I don't recognize anybody. There's tons of like annoying Americanisms that have slipped into BBC and ITV coverage. I just can't get into it. Seems fake. And I don't know, like, I feel like my buddy Stephen Carson, you know, Radlib, who hasn't had a TV for 30 years, has always said that, look, if you don't watch anything for a while, it just looks like super fake. And seeing J.D. Vance here doesn't seem like a real person. Seems like a kind of, remember that film Lawnmower Man? Seems like a kind of CG character or something to me. It's weird how that happens. Anyway, let's carry on.
Important details to figure out that we're actually going to sit at the table and discuss together and figure out a path forward on these details. For example,
one of the things I have been thinking about is that John Motson has been dead for quite a long time now, and yet all of the commentators still sound a bit like John Motson. So when young men are growing up, do they then dream about being John Motson? Because there's a very particular football commentator voice, isn't there? Anyway, let's see what J.D. Vance has to say.
Committed to destroy and dispose of their stockpile of highly enriched material. That's the highly enriched uranium that they accumulated over the Obama administration and over the Biden administration. And what we've said is, okay, let's talk about how exactly we're going to do that. They want access to an unsanctioned economy. We've talked about, okay, we're open to that, but that would require a long-term commitment to the inspection and verification regime that I just talked about. So a lot of these details are going to be figured out during those 60-day talks. We feel quite confident that we're in a strong position here. Fundamentally, we have the leverage. We have the diplomatic, economic, and military leverage. But we also are extending an open hand to the Iranians and saying, if you guys negotiate in good faith and you make that long-term commitment not to develop nuclear weapons, then we are going to make sure that your country is successful. If, however, you refuse to meet us halfway, then we're going to continue to apply the pressure that we've seen build up economically in particular, and that's going to be bad for them, and fundamentally, it's going to be bad for the region.
So that was J.D. Vance sounding a lot like the Trump administration is willing to agree to something along the lines of Obama's nuclear deal, which Donald Trump ripped up in his first term. Now, one might also question whether J.D. Vance is correct that the U.S. still holds all the cards, considering Iran can still close the Strait of Hormuz as and when it pleases. However, when we...
Hold on. Dr. Steve Turley just said that Trump has dealt them a blow that they'll never be able to recover from, that Iran has lost that ace card forever. There's a lot of discordance going on between the Navarro media coverage and Dr. Steve's coverage. I'm going to be trying to figure it out over the course of this stream.
We move beyond American cope. Is this a deal we should welcome? Well, I spoke.
It's Bastani now. Aaron Bastani down the left flank. He's crossed it in. Oh, it's a goal for the Navarro media. They all talk like that, don't they?
Earlier today to Asfandyar Batmanghelidj, CEO of Bourse Bazaar. We've had him on the show before. Brilliant guest. That's a think tank promoting peace and economic development in West Asia.
I think it's good news that we've gotten to this point. The crisis had gone on really for way too long, and it was a really dangerous moment for the region at large, because had the negotiations for this framework deal fallen apart, there was every possibility that we would have ended up back into a full-blown conflict. And so I think a lot of credit goes to the regional countries that stepped in to help facilitate this deal through their mediation, through formulating ideas to bridge the gaps between the US and Iran. And I think actually that's ultimately why I am somewhat optimistic after the agreement, not so much because I think that this framework deal will really reset US-Iran relations. There's a long road ahead.
This man's name is Asfandyar Batmanghelidj. Asfandyar Batmanghelidj.
For further technical negotiations, and of course, a lot of issues that seem just really beyond the Trump administration's capability to address. But if you are going to look at the Middle East and think about, well, what are the factors that you need to prevent the region sliding back into a major crisis, as we saw with the war at the beginning of this year? The capacity for regional diplomacy and the ability of regional states to find a common voice in pushing for a peace deal, that's very positive. And I think hopefully it's something that can be built upon when we think about what security looks like in the Middle East in the future.
And what were the sticking points? What are the concessions that have been made by either side here? Because I suppose...
So there was that one commentator who was different from all the others. He was the commentator who did Football Italia in the 90s. You know, remember with James Richardson eating the ice cream? I can't remember. Was it Peter Drury? He was very different from all the others. He was more like Albertini. Giving it to Costa Curta. It's Ibrahim Bar now. He was very different. He was more like a snooker commentator. I enjoyed that. I like the Serie A commentator. I like Motti as well, to be fair. And Jonathan Pierce. I think Pierce is still around, isn't he?
It's not clear how this is different from just a sort of bog standard ceasefire. What are the sort of concrete things which have been agreed here that we didn't see 2 months ago?
Michael, the thing is that a lot of the terms of the agreement feel quite standard, or they feel like things we've seen before. I mean, you've already had critics of this peace deal going after the Trump administration for agreeing to a deal that looks a lot like the Iran nuclear agreement.
Okay, Navarro Media are being too boring. Let's move on now. I give them one on the slop rating. You can give your own rating. But unfortunately, Isfahani Batman there was very boring as a guest. Let us now move on to, speaking of guests, you lot were very harsh to PF Young. Some of you were quite harsh to Scrump as well, but PF Young got a very rough ride. I didn't think he deserved quite as harsh a reception as he got. He wasn't that bad. Anyway, let's see how Tim Pool is reporting this.
War with Iran is over. Yesterday, breaking news, the U.S. and Iran have reached a deal. Trump said he's getting all of the armada out of there. We're going to be reopening the strait come Friday. A deal will be signed. The Strait of Hormuz will be opened, and gas prices are already coming down. Oil is down. Stocks are up. Everybody's happy because it's finally over. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, this time, it's officially done.
Look at the difference in tone between Navarro Media who were admittedly a bit dry and boring, and Steve Turley, who could be presenting pro wrestling, couldn't he? He could literally be Todd Pettingale from 1994. Look at the energy Poole puts into this and compare it with Harry Inglidee from last week. This is why Tim Poole is a mega superstar, because he's got so much energy. Right? Look at the energy he puts into this.
The war with Iran is over.
The war with Iran is over. Oh, wow. Wow. We're hooked. Tell us more, Tim.
Yesterday, breaking news, the U.S. and...
Breaking news. Oh, my goodness. It is over.
Iran have reached a deal. Trump said he's getting all of the armada out of there. We're going to be reopening the strait come Friday. A deal will be signed. The Strait of Hormuz will be opened, and gas prices are already coming down.
Gas prices are coming down, and you know it because Tim Poole told you. I have been keeping an eye on the price of petrol. It's fluctuated. It's gone. It's down. It did go up a little bit last week, just 1.65, back down to 1.53 or thereabouts. It's been there for quite a long time, though. It's been hovering around 1.53, 1.55 since about April, and it's definitely up. On, you know, before the war started, it was down to 130 something, you know, so it's gone up about 20p in total, I would say on average, which is still lower than the highs of the Rishi Sunak £1.81. Do you remember that? And I think using the actual petrol prices is a good proxy for what's actually happening than you know, listening to likes of this gobshite.
Oil is down. Stocks are up. Everybody's happy because it's finally over. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This time, it's officially done. The war is over. The plan is in place. Pakistan helped negotiate it. This will be the time we can definitively say, if you know what I mean, yeah, I'm not entirely convinced. And
so he was putting on a little act. Tim Poole was deliberately shilling more because he was preparing us for the punchline that he doesn't quite buy it. Smooth working, Tim. Very smooth working.
I hate covering the story, to be completely honest, because Trump's been yo-yoing. We've had four major announcements.
But even that's a pro wrestling move. It's known as a swerve. He swerved us, Tim Poole, with the swerve.
Announcements of a peace deal that haven't come through. So I'm not, again, entirely convinced this is actually going to play out the way everyone is presuming it will play out right now. Conservatives are all running to X being like, Trump has done it. He's got a deal.
Aren't you just so glad that you're not on X anymore? Every day, more and more TAA members join. People tell me I lasted another week, but I've decided also to join UAA and become TAA member, Twitter Addict Anonymous. We support each other. We support each other in touching grass, in going outside, in never ever going back to social media. And the stud Keir Starmer has done us a solid by banning social media for under 16s. But absolutely based. You too should be just leaving X in your droves. And if you're still on there, don't try to justify your addiction to me. Try to justify your addiction to yourself and ask yourself, is this doing my life any good? Does my life benefit from being on this hell site? Or would I be better doing literally anything else? Every time you post on X, ask yourself, what is the opportunity cost for being on here? You could be doing something else. You could be working harder at work. You could be playing with your kids. Don't waste your life posting on there. I can tell the tale myself. Anyway, let's carry on.
Democrats are saying he surrendered, and we've been here already. Guys, I already covered the story where Democrats called it a surrender. We already complained that Democrats were not giving Trump a single good day. Yet here we go again. Perhaps this time it won't be a yo-yo and there will actually be some kind of deal, but it has to come soon. We are only about 4.5 months away from the midterm elections, and Donald Trump needs some economic victories. And I tell you this, most people probably don't care all that much about the Iran war. It's used
Simon, I can see you in there saying that you're not addicted. Come on. It's all right. The first step is admitting it. First of all, admit it to yourself. Then you can admit it to other people. We're not going to judge you. We've all been there. Come to the light. Come to the light. We can help each other. Touch the screen. You can say, I can leave X and have my life back. Go on, Simon. Touch the screen.
Largely is a wedge issue by people. They want to be mad about something. I got to be honest. No, hold on. I can already hear the people who don't understand the idea of macro level politics complaining that they really do care about this. Guys, I know there are a lot of you out there that deeply care about the war with Iran. What I am saying is that in the American political sphere, I'm telling you this right now, ain't nobody cares. You know what people want to talk about? Michelle Obama being a man. Because that dude at the UFC fight yelled it out. And you know I know this. I track social media trend data. And I've been watching all of this stuff. And there's a couple reasons why I've laid back on talking about the Iran war.
I mean, he is right. Fewer people are watching this stream than watched last week's stream. And last week's stream was literally just called Top of the Slops. Fewer people are watching this week's stream than I watched the bonus stream from last week, which is about Britain being on the brink. So he is kind of right. But then again, I see the views of the Duran and Judge Knapp and so on, and Tucker and various other people who do talk about it, and they get huge views. So maybe there's a kind of audience thing going on. Maybe there's an audience for foreign policy versus an audience for domestic policy, or an audience for slop and an audience for, you know, serious biz world affairs. I don't know. That's why I'm getting out of this game, getting out of this politics game, man. I'm just going to go back to talking about, like, old dudes from the 19th century and what they thought about democracy, what they thought about allocating scarce resources that have alternative uses. We're going to talk about that sort of stuff.
No new developments. Nothing is changing. Little blips here and there. And every single time they announce they have a peace agreement, it falls apart days later. Where are we now? Well, apparently, Iran is arguing they're going to get a bunch of money unfrozen. They're going to get a bunch of IMF funding. And the Trump administration is saying this is absolutely not true. So here we go again. But don't worry. I will have the video for you now. And, you know, I say fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice. This is big news, and it is being reported as though it is the end of this conflict.
All right, I've had enough, Tim. Just nothing said. Next. Who are we going to go to next? I don't know. Let's see what this video is.
Oh, on a bus somewhere between Pskov and Moscow, and I'm sitting here with Alexander Mercuris. Alexander, welcome.
And delighted to be with you again here in the coach between Pskov and Moscow.
We said we're going to use the time to talk a little bit about world politics, and it's going to be an audio only, but I hope our audience will enjoy it. And we are talking today on June the 15th, and we just learned the news that there is an agreement between the Iranians and the Americans. It's not signed yet.
Did I ever tell you that one of my old school friends randomly came across, like, me, one of my appearances on the Duran, and got in text contact, and it's like, who is that guy you're talking to? He is outrageously gay. He is so camp, it's unreal. And that's something I'd never really noticed about Alexander Mercuris before. But just listening to them, he does have a kind of excitable tone, doesn't he? He is a little bit camp, I would suggest. But that's not a bad thing. You know, some of my best friends are gay. Some of my best friends even wear a skirt and call themselves a woman when they're a man.
probably going to be signed in Geneva, Switzerland, sometime next week. But what do you make out of this theatre that we are seeing at the moment?
I think it is theatre. The first thing to understand is that the agreement that we're going to probably see, and it's still probably see because it's not a certainty, is essentially an agreement to extend the ceasefire. There are apparently provisions in this agreement about the Americans paying back some of the frozen assets to Iran. I don't believe we will ever see anything like that happen. The substantive issue, which is about Iranian enrichment.
Isn't it strange that now we're listening intently to Mercurius to figure out what is actually happening? Right, past Turley, past Navarra, past bloody Tim Pool. So now it's like, okay, Alex, tell us what's actually happening. Right? I mean, what I'm feeling right now, but maybe you disagree.
It's completely unresolved. What it looks like to me is a device by the United States to get the Strait of Hormuz reopened and to get oil moving regularly back into global markets.
One of the reasons, by the way, that I say that about Mercurius is that I actually believe he's taken the time to actually like sit down with a newspaper and read it. He's not just like following tweets on X and whatnot. You know, that's just my impression of him. It's kind of why I like, kind of why I still like him.
Because the United States has understood that the anticipated economic collapse of Iran that they hope would happen as a result of the sea blockade is not going to happen at all, or will not happen soon enough to make up for the rise in oil prices and the risk of a recession in the United States. So I think that this is a temporary ceasefire. Still, I think that the Americans and the Israelis will go away and will rethink their strategy. I don't think their objective in Iran has changed at all. And I think they're going to try and find a way to use the time of this ceasefire to restart this whole thing all over again, maybe in a different way.
Sounds more likely, doesn't it? Of all the absolute rubbish we've watched so far, Mercurius, that sounds more likely. It's more like Israel and America, I know.
And so on the side of the Iranians, probably what we are seeing is just the other side of that. They can also use a break. They can also use time to reload. And in the meantime, they agree to something that at least on paper vindicates their position, even if then in reality, it's probably never going to be lived up to anything what we're seeing. And let's not forget, it's an...
I should say that this video... Right. What is Steve Turley's video was called "Iran Shock Hormuz Offer Reveals Their Catastrophic Defeat." That was Turley's title. Tim Pool's title was "He's Finally Done It." Navarra's title was "Expert: Iran War Has Ended U.S. Dominance in the Middle East." The title for this video that we're watching right now was "End of Empire USA Humiliated by Iran Deal with Alexander Mercurius." So yeah, there you go.
MOU, right? And it's the weird thing to me is that we started off with about 2 months ago with the Americans agreeing to the Iranian terms in order to get to a peace agreement. And now we are at the stage of an MOU that was never foreseen, and the MOU should then get us to a final peace agreement. I mean, it's so convoluted in a process that it's hard to see how this can lead anywhere for sure. But at the moment, everybody can live with this kind of semi-frozen, hold.
So it's just more face saving from both sides. I don't even need to know anymore. That's the big line, big ticket takeaway. Let's have a little bit more Mercurius, then we'll get on to who else we got. I kind of like this guy, Kurno Damo. He's a leftist, but I want to know what JF has got to say, because he's quite, despite being an absolute psycho, he's autistic enough to cut through any BS. That's why I put him on the ticket. Tucker Carlson, I'm interested in the take. Who do you want to see next, guys? We've already been through, or Dave Smith. Can we trust Dave Smith? I'm going to have a little bit more Mercurius, and then we're going to hit one of these other slot merchants.
Yes, it's important to remember that though the Americans have made the bigger concessions, I mean, they clearly started the war with the anticipation that there would be a rapid collapse of the government in Iran. And they made it perfectly clear. People are in denial about this. They made it absolutely clear. They said it quite openly, and the Israelis said it, shouted it from the rooftops, that the intention was to overthrow the Iranian government. So the Americans have had to pull back to retreat an awful lot. But the Iranians have retreated too, because throughout March, the Iranians were saying that they were not prepared to agree to any kind of ceasefire, which is what we essentially are looking at. They wanted a full, complete, final settlement of the entire conflict between themselves and the United States. That was supposedly the wish of the murdered Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. But the Iranians have now backed off, and they are agreeing to what is in effect a ceasefire. And I think the reason...
I still go back to that moment where they agreed to the initial ceasefire and think, you know, in pure chess terms, I think Iran lost a tempo doing that. I think they shouldn't have done it. I think that what they should have done is just continue to pummel Tel Aviv day and night until they really started to beg. The strategy gamer in me maintains that Iran made a mistake back at the end of March and that they should never have got into this, because this is the sort of shit show that Trump excels in, where it's hazy, it's gray, everybody can save face. You know, it's just another interminable storyline. And I've always maintained that Iran made a mistake from that, you know, in agreeing to the initial ceasefire. Don't give them an out. Just keep on pummeling.
The reason they've done that is because they've come under heavy pressure from their BRICS friends, China and Russia, to agree to this.
And there it is. That was the reason. Leverage from China, unfortunately.
So I think what the Iranians need to do, obviously, is that they need to prepare for the next attack, which is going to come. And one of the things they need to do is cash in on their agreement to do what their Chinese and Russian friends want and get the Chinese and the Russians more proactively to support Iran in the future.
Okay. All right. At least we got decent analysis out of those two. So it looks like the chat wants to go to JF next. JF seemed to be the overwhelming favorite from the chat. So let's see what Mr. Gary Epi, I haven't seen him for long. Last time I saw JF, he was hanging out with that Andy Worski. Feels like years ago. Anyway. What the hell?
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not...
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
I hate to say it, but it's kind of cursed, isn't it? Isn't it kind of cursed? It's kind of cursed.
I
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I've been very intense on my diet in the last few days. I've spent 4 days without eating. So it's been Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And
that's a bit hardcore. That's a very long time without eating. He's probably seeing things.
And this morning, I went to eat a Subway sandwich, and now I'm back into not eating. So I'm going to eat every 4 days. That's what I'm trying.
Mental. You know, you don't eat 4 days and then you go and have a Subway. You should do what I'm doing. Wagyu steak every day, I'm telling you. One Wagyu steak. Really nice. Get a little rub on there. Cut out the carbs. More effective. This is unsustainable. Not eating for 4 days and then having a Subway sandwich seems counterintuitive and could make yourself ill doing that, I reckon.
And it's been working good. I lost 10 pounds. 10 pounds for a 4 day without eating. That is pretty intense. We're starting to see my muscles. I realized that muscles aren't so much about building the muscle. They're already there. It's all about losing the fat that covers the muscle. If you want to look muscled, the first thing is to not be fat. Because I didn't work very much on my muscle building yet.
Yeah, you can lose muscle mass, though, through fasting. You can lose, and I know this because I have this little app. I've got these special scales that I've got, and I go on those scales every morning, and I see how much I have to track what my weight is doing. And I can see that since I started, even though I've been eating a steak literally every day, if I have a look at my stats here, I have lost a little bit of muscle mass, even myself. So having a look at my, there we go. Somehow I have gained skeletal muscle. I don't know how that works, but I've slightly gained skeletal muscle. I don't know what that means. But in terms of, look, I've lost it just a little, just like half a pound of muscle since I started this. Maybe like a pound of muscle, which is, I don't know if I can do anything about that. But anyway, let's carry on.
We start to see it now because I lost weight. And so they exist. My muscles were under there throughout these years.
The guy who said that cigars make you fat and old, that is not true. And if you want to repeat that, chance your arm and see how long you last in that chat. It's just not true. I won't stand for lies. Cigars do not make you old or fat. They just have no bearing on that whatsoever.
Dalton says current weight and goal weight. Now I'm at 200 and my goal weight would be 180. So I've already lost 70 pounds. And now I need to get to 180 for the release of White People Food, because as Nick Fuentes says it, no one wants to hear about food from a fat person. So I need to go to 180 so that I'm at my top. I'm changing completely my style. I just got these sunglasses, natural born killers.
Are you going to talk about the deal, JF? Talk about the deal.
Style. I love these sunglasses. I think they look great. I think sunglasses, I'm going to now dress differently to put into highlight my new weight loss, maybe work on my jaw, maybe a small nose surgery. I don't know if that will be needed. I'm going to look max and I'm going to...
Oh, come on. This is intolerable. Come on, JF. Stop talking about like a girl here and get on with it.
Definition. Absolutely. Stephen Robinson says, working out doesn't hurt, though. Basically being shown on the UFC, it's like...
Oh, come on, come on, come on, man. This is interminable. JF, this is false evidence. Okay, next. Okay, who's next on it? I don't know what JF's take is because he spent the entire time talking about his diet and looks maxing. Let's go to Kerno Damo, shall we? Where's Kerno Damo?
Right, so Donald Trump has got himself an Iran deal, a peace deal, a beautiful deal, a long and beautiful peace, he says. Because of course he does. Because if there's one thing the tangerine tyrant loves more than threatening to blow something up is announcing that he invented peace some 5 minutes later. Lebanon can't have got the memo they were included in this memorandum of understanding Trump is crowing about as if it's a done and dusted deal, though.
There's something about Kerno Damo's cadence that I find vaguely hypnotic, because he's got this way of speaking, and then he speeds up quite a bit in the middle, and then he slows down at the end of the sentence, and then he goes back up again, and then he speeds up in the middle again, and then he comes back down again. Kind of hypnotic, isn't it?
A memorandum of understanding is not a deal, however, no matter how much the media outlets present it as such. It's simply an acknowledgement by both sides over what the other side actually wants. Not that there is necessarily any agreement across that board at all. And smoke is still very much rising over the likes of Dakia and Goberi, as Israel hasn't let up in Lebanon one iota. Buildings are still...
Oh, well, that was somewhat missing from all the other videos. All right, so the Israelis are still hitting Beirut then. Surprise, surprise. What did I say right at the start of the stream? Surprise, surprise.
Being hit. Streets strewn with fresh rubble, people fleeing, responders trying their best. And that is, of course, the catch in Trump's deal, isn't it? And it was always going to be when he deigned to go over his boss Netanyahu's head and do a deal with Iran without him, such as that is.
Kerno's the only person so far who's had the sheer balls to say, yeah, Netanyahu's Trump's boss. Just Kerno Damo not giving a shit, two-footed. Yeah, I'm going in. I'm going in, boss.
Certainly not the headline he wants. He wants to tell the world he stopped another war, even though he started it. He wants to talk about oil, about the markets, about Hormuz opening toll-free, how he has saved the whole of civilization via another all-caps message on Truth Social. But no matter how much he will also say Lebanon is part of the deal, Iran's red line, as that was, Israel will take no notice because there's never...
I'm going to say something unpopular here. This video, despite this man's face, is better than JF talking about looks maxing for 5 minutes and about his diet. Would you not agree? This guy has just gone straight in. Yeah, I'm going to give it to you straight like a pear cider. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter. I'm just going to wear a t-shirt and forget about looks maxing. I'm not a girl. I'm here to talk about politics. I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm going to talk about politics. I'm going to tell her I'm going to tell it to you how it is. I'm not going to mess around. Interesting, isn't it?
There's going to be any real pressure for them to do so. It will likely derail the ceasefire because Iran haven't got one of their core demands. Israel are refusing to leave Lebanon, and all Trump can do is beg them not to blow his deal. Well, where is the incentive for Netanyahu? Israel's already standing there with a match in one hand and a ministerial statement in the other saying, make us Donny if you dare, before proceeding to hit Dakia and Goberi, eliciting something of a begging letter from Trump, taking to Truth Social to say, this morning's attack on Beirut should not have happened, particularly on a special day when we are so close to a peace deal with Iran.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. God, it's like being in bloody Groundhog Day, isn't it? It's Groundhog Day all over again.
Israel has the right to defend itself against threats, but the attack it was responding to was very small and meaningless. Nobody was hurt, injured, or killed, and should not disrupt this important process. We are very close to a deal that will bring peace.
Oh, it's interminable. Kerno Damo's had the best video so far because he has gone straight to the heart of the issue. What's the heart of the issue? Who is the exception? Who is sovereign? he's gone straight to the straight for the thing that matters, Netanyahu, the actions of Israel. And look, it's been the most informative video by a mile.
To the region, including to Lebanon, and all sides should stand down. There should be no more attacks by Israel anywhere in Lebanon, but there should also be no more attacks by any other party, including Hezbollah, against Israel. This could be the beginning of a long and beautiful peace. Let's not blow it. Thank you for your attention on this matter, President Orange Toddler.
It's pathetic, isn't it? It's pathetic. All I can think of is Blackadder. Pathetic. Blackadder the Third, was it?
Note, even he at one point in that didn't call it a deal, but close to one. If only the mainstream media were not so simplistic. No more attacks by Israel anywhere in Lebanon. Let's not blow it. That's Trump trying to put the fire extinguisher back on the wall while Netanyahu's lot are already admiring the smoke damage. And the thing about that line is it does two jobs at once. It tells you Trump knows Israel could blow the deal. They'll bend over backwards too, frankly, won't they? Netanyahu's position depends on it. And frankly, when you've never been made to toe a single...
Yeah, I will say, in fairness, right, if JF was doing a review stream like this and picked up one of my office hours videos, it'd be like, oh, I saw this guff at the start. Why is he talking about the ultra bundle? You know, where's the stuff? To be fair, streams are a bit different. So I'll give JF that. That's true. It's not a video, it's a stream, and it is a different medium.
Line ever in your life, why should you take any notice of Trump warning you now? But it also goes to show he knows there is no getting around Lebanon being a central issue here either. So fundamentally, we have Trump saying no more Israeli attacks on Lebanon, and Israel saying it is staying in Lebanon. So you have to ask yourself, in which case, well, what has Trump actually got here then?
Could have told you this back in April, or in May, or in June. It's now middle of June. Nothing's changed. Same basic situation. The US president will not stand up to Benjamin Netanyahu. The US remains cucked by this tiny little country in the Middle East. And that's basically the deadlock here. That's why nothing moves on. That's why it's Groundhog Day. And it's so bloody boring.
Basically, an acknowledgement from Iran over what he wants. But he's given them the same message, and that is pretty much it.
U.S. President Donald Trump publicly turned up the heat on Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. This is not the first time this is happening. Trump claims Netanyahu almost derailed U.S.-Iran peace.
It's all kayfabe. It's all nonsense. Until America just says, "Oi, Israel, no! I respect the fact you've been a people for 2,000 years, but if you want to... If you think you can bomb Lebanon with impunity, that's where I say, oi, baby, no. But Israel, America never actually does that and never actually takes that step. Until it does, we're going to be stuck in Groundhog Day with this scenario and every other scenario in the Middle East.
Talks calling him a very difficult guy. Trump also asserted that American diplomacy is the only thing securing Israel's survival against its chief...
Onyx Shockwave said he deleted his Twitter and his head is clearer without it. It's a gossip machine. Onyx, I need to have some sort of bell here. I need to have some sort of klaxon or bell when another person joins the TAA, the Twitter Addicts Anonymous. That reminds me, by the way. Do you remember that guy? What was his name? Jason... You know, the guy who looks like Captain Beefheart, I had him on once. I forgot his name. But anyway, that guy, the guy who looks like Beefheart, who I had on, who predicted that the world economy would collapse in 2025, and then it didn't. He did a whole stream about me leaving Twitter. And he started with a spiel about how the so-called dissident right, which hasn't existed for about 3 years, by the way, but aren't serious, right? Aren't serious. And it's one of the funniest streams I've ever seen, because throughout this stream, every time he got a super chat, he did a little dance. So he was in the middle of this rant about how people aren't serious. while also doing a little dance whenever he got a super chat. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. I don't know if it's like self-aware comedy or something. One of the funniest things. In fact, if we get bored of this story, I'll stick that video on, because every time he does that little dance, I couldn't help cracking up. In fact, I'm going to find that. I want to watch it together. Anyway, I'm going to let this play and try to find that video.
Regional adversary. Now, the dressing down, it underlines the growing strain between the two leaders. Trump's latest comments made during a wide-ranging interview with the New York Times. It came following the announcement of an Iran-US memorandum of understanding aimed at ending the war. Dismissing Netanyahu's objections to the diplomatic breakthrough, Trump said, I quote here, he's a very difficult guy. And to be honest with you, he should be very thankful to us for doing this. Because if Iran had a nuclear weapon, Israel wouldn't be around for 2 hours. The message was unmistakable. America made the deal. Israel should not stand in its way. But reports indicate that Trump is furious at Netanyahu for the recent Israeli military actions, which he believed were intentionally designed to derail negotiations with Tehran. Israel struck Beirut's Hezbollah-controlled Dahieh district. Just
why is he using this Indian channel? Seems a bit strange. Anyway,
with Tehran. Israel struck Beirut's Hezbollah-controlled Dahieh district just hours before Washington and Tehran were due to unveil a preliminary agreement. Trump later said that he confronted Netanyahu directly. He told Fox News and Axios that he did not mince his words, using expletives to send across his message. According to reports, Trump told the Israeli leader he had shown poor judgment. Just hours later, the United States and Iran announced what they described as an immediate and permanent end to military operations, including in Lebanon. The agreement is reportedly set to be signed in Switzerland later this week on the 19th of June. One detail stands out here, though, that Israel was not at the table. Neither were they invited. For months, Netanyahu has heavily lobbied the White House to maintain absolute military pressure. Israel has also continued its offensive in Lebanon, despite ceasefire overseas.
Oh, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. The guy's name is Mironchuk. It's unfortunate that is now a members only video. So we can't watch it together. But the dance that he does is so funny. It's just so funny. It's like a Ric Flair dance. It's like a Ric Flair meme dance. So every time he gets money, he stops what he's saying and does a little jig, and goes off on this whole spiel. I just find it really funny. But anyway, I'm bored of this one now. Bored of this. Let's go for now, Tucker. Let's see what Tucker has to say. Is this Tucker? This is Tucker.
Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Is this deal real?
I think so. I think this is a significant achievement, but nothing is fully real until they manage to get to the final agreement. And we already have a precedent in which we also see that when there was a final agreement, which there was in 2015 that Obama struck, it didn't mean that it necessarily would last, because Trump walked out of that deal. So yeah, if this is something we want, we have to work at it. We have to work to keep it. These things are not part of the background that you can keep without putting any effort into it. And right now, we're not even halfway to the distance, but this is an important development.
So what are the key deal points as they're emerging, to the extent we know now?
Yeah. First of all, we don't know enough, because at the end of the day, there's been just so many different versions that have been floating around.
Yes.
And some of them, frankly, do seem to be sabotage efforts.
Now, even though I'm a fan of Tucker, would you not agree with me that there is, okay, so on the whole, like, swindleometer, trustworthinessometer, or what are you trying to sell me, right? Obviously, Dr. Steve gets a 10 out of 10, you know, sloptastic, absolute ridiculous MAGA nonsense. Tim Pool was pretty up there as well. But there's an element to Tucker where it's like, yeah, what are you trying to sell me here? Which was completely absent in Kern O'Damo. Kern O'Damo is just a bloke he's left wing, fine, but he's just he knows the score. Whereas Tucker, I'm thinking, yeah, he's trying to sell me on this. He's trying to sell me the deal, trying to sell me what the Trump admin are doing. And that was completely missing in Kern Odamo. In fairness, it was missing also in the Mercuris clip that we watched, and to some extent in Navarra Media. Whereas here, and this is in Value Free, I like Tucker, let's not forget, but I get the impression that Tucker is selling. He's selling the deal in a way that Mercuris was not, in a way that Navarra Media was not, in a way that Kern Odamo was not.
Some of the hardline media in Iran that has been sending out these versions of the deal that I think deliberately were trying to raise people's expectations in order to make the final deal look bad. And they're doing it because they're trying to sabotage. The Pehdari faction in Iran, super hardliners, are dead set against it. In fact, they were...
I think this guy is Iranian. And I say that because of his pronunciation of that Farsi word just now. Sounds like he's Iranian. That was a very good Farsi pronunciation. So I say he's Iranian, this dude.
Protests that they organized, not huge ones in any way, shape, or form, particularly for a city of 10 million or plus in Tehran, but they were protesting outside of the Iranian foreign ministry and calling for the death of the foreign minister and the speaker of the parliament who've been negotiating this deal. So we should not for a second forget that there's a faction in Iran that is really against this. But based on what it seems likely to have included, there's going to be an opening of the straits. It's going to take some time. You know, they have to do some demining, et cetera, to be able to fully make it safe. The U.S. is going to lift its blockade of the blockade, which I think ultimately complicated this matter much more so than...
But when's Tucker going to give me a call, by the way? Is that every other person on? Where's my call, Tucker? Anyway.
And help the U.S. I think there will be some release of funds, but it will be done in a manner in which Trump can say that he never released the funds. And the Iranians can say they got some of their money back. And it's going to be something that some of the GCC countries do in the middle to make sure that there's some money going to the Iranians while they're waiting for the actual Iranian money to be released. And it's very important to keep this in mind. This is Iran's own money. They had about $120 to $150 billion in various banks around the world. That's how you do international trade. You have the money there. And if you buy food or whatever from there, you use that money. These were frozen by U.S. sanctions, so the Iranians could not access it.
It is true that Tucker did follow me on Twitter. That is true. But now I don't have a Twitter anymore. Tucker's team want to get a hold of me. They're going to have to go through all of the loopholes that people have to go through to get a hold of me now. Basically send me an email.
For how long have they been frozen? Well, they were frozen first under the Obama era until they struck a deal, and then it was unfrozen. And then once Trump walked out of the deal in 2018, it was refrozen. So since 2018, almost 10 years, a lot of Iran's money has been in these banks and they've not been able to access it. Out of that 120 to 150, the Iranian demand has been that for the MOU, they should get 12, roughly 8 to 10% released at the outset, and another 12 released by the time that the MOU is concluded.
And this is their money, just to...
This is their money. So this is different. You know, the story...
Tom, I didn't delete Tucker as a follower. I deleted Twitter. Deleted my account, mate. That means I deleted all my followers, including Tucker.
Worry about how Obama released $1.7 billion when he signed the JCPOA.
Yeah, he sent the pallets of cash.
That is true, but that was very different. That was not frozen money. That was because there was a lawsuit between the United States and Iran since the beginning of the revolution, because during the time of the Shah, we're talking about 1977.
All right. I'm bored of this as well. Dave Smith. Let's have a look.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode.
Who's this dude then? He looks like a pro wrestler or something. Kind of a Steve Austin knockoff. Who's this dude on the right? Anyone know?
Of part of the problem. This is a big one. We had fights at the White House last night celebrating the 250th anniversary of America. And on that same day, I got a nice virus going through my house, the joys of having a young family.
Leave. Don't ruin Denver. Just leave for the week.
Oh, yeah. No, I won't. Denver comes before anything. Before God, family. But then, of course, Rob, we'll get into this. We have a deal. Well, we have a memo. Okay. We don't have the memo, but we've been told there is a memo. It looks like this one might be legit. And there's a ton to break down. Real quick before we get into that, you did mention, Rob, Denver, Colorado, coming up soon. This is like
I've had enough. You can see I'm done with politics. I really am done with politics. Just had enough. Right, let's do some super chats. I will talk more about this. I think the basic take was given by Damo, Kierno Damo, that the fundamentals of the situation haven't shifted. And if anything, the other part of the take was given by Mercurius, which is that basically when all said and done, this is just going to be yet another brief pause so America and Israel can regroup again and come again, if it holds at all. But basically the situation hasn't changed. That's what we're getting from all of this. I don't need Dave Smith to tell me that. Okay, we've been through all eight of these now. Best video was Kierno Damo. Worst video was by Turley. Who knows what JF said? He spent the whole time talking about his weight loss program. Okay, so I don't have much patience today, guys. I really don't. Clarence Bodica says, 2 days video summed up my struggle playing the last mission of China campaign in Command and Conquer Generals. Took me hours getting it by waves of cheap GLA tech. Ancient Steel says, to your question on who is Dark Age Theorist, he is an academic YouTuber who covers civilization, history, power, and the political dark arts. Sounds like someone who would watch yours truly to me. One of his weird videos is Wet Jobs from Thatcher to Blair. Please interview. I am switching, as I mentioned, to covering mainly kind of more big think type topics. I'm going to be covering thinkers over the next few weeks and possibly even months. So the window for doing interviews is somewhat just shut again. But I will not rule out having... He sounds interesting, so I won't rule out having him on at some point. JS says, the pro-Russia sphere is calling the peace agreement Iran's Minsk II. It gives the US time to rearm and restore the economy, and they'll attack again. Yeah, I get that impression from what Mercurius was saying. That's probably the most likely. Especially that Israel is still kind of, you know, they're still doing this kayfabe where Trump is shouting at Netanyahu and stuff, but everybody knows that's nonsense. Everybody knows it's nonsense. Bellia Bradley says, many of us have learned a fair deal from AA over the years. I hope you don't dial it in and wind up working for the Blaze. I will not work for the Blaze, sir. I'm going in a completely different direction. And, like more educational, I think. I think I'm done. I'm really quite fed up of commenting on the news, period, to be honest. It's all so much rubbish. And as you can see, even doing these office hours where we're reviewing the news, it's just so tiresome, so much of it. Blue Eagle says, I barely even engage in politics with others because they all know I'm going to say small group of well-connected elites, blah, blah. So thanks, AA. Well, join the club, mate. Jack Chipper says, please do politics once a month. Many morons out there. Well, the thing is that what's the point? I mean, you know, nobody ever learns anything. Nobody's ever grateful. Nobody, what's the point? I think there's no point. I prefer just to teach people ideas and things like that. I prefer to get out of this, leave it to Bo Dade and his mate and all of the other people on there. They can knock themselves out. I'm not interested in being part of it, to be honest. You know, if you want to, you know what they're all going to say before you even watch the video half the time. So, yeah, forget it. I'm going to carry on doing this one stream a week where I'll have a look at what a new story like I've done today. One of the things I think I've learned from this stream is we need to make sure they're short videos. They're like 10, 15 minute videos, because otherwise people take too long to get going. Coney says, did you see Channel 4 made a documentary about Trump and pro wrestling that was featured last night? It was hosted by that Zimbabwean comedian. There's a Zimbabwean comedian. Who is the Zimbabwean comedian who presented that show? $11 Cheese says, do you remember, I remembering you interviewing Turley and playing his theme songs to him is like remembering a fever dream. Did that happen or is it a Mandela effect? No, it absolutely did happen. Turley came on this channel. I played him that. And his response was, some of you fellas have way too much time on your hands. Ha ha ha. He took it in good spirit. He's a good guy, really, Turley. Although his loyalty to Trump means that he has to basically lie for a living these days, which is unfortunate because I like him as a man. AJ says, regarding China being forced to be a policeman by circumstance, interestingly, an Ocean Apart showed initial American reluctance to take that role. Yes, AJ, because hollow is the crown, right? Hollow, you know, it's a burden to have to deal with all of that. And really, it's thankless. It's a thankless task to have to try to be the world policeman. And yet, because of the way that trade works, somebody has to underwrite the security. So, yeah, I mean, my whole point in that video and when I talked to Scrump was that whether China like it or not, if they end up doing de facto security for world trade, they will end up engaging in gunboat diplomacy, whether they like it or not. It's just goes with the territory. Frederick Barbarossa says, how do you feel about William Spaniel? I do not know who William Spaniel is, sir. Chris Primer says, is he suspected of deleting his girlfriend? Isn't he suspected? Who are you talking about, JF? I don't really know about that, although some of the stuff I've seen is a little bit kind of, you know, a little bit psycho, I have to say. But, you know, this is a man who goes 4 days without eating as an experiment. So Frederick Barbarossa says, watch William Spaniel's video on the deal. Who is William Spaniel? Who is William Spaniel? T-Dog says, Paul Craig Roberts on Dialogue Works is very good. Cancel Culture sent a super sticker. Broman Henk says, I didn't have running water for 5 days here in Johannesburg. Fuel is still expensive. You'd think it would radicalize me, but I'm just feeling a radical apathy. What did you drink then, Broman? If without running water, were you drinking bottle water? How does that work? Bartleby says, I'm glad you told us how addicting Crusader Kings is. Bartleby, I hate to do this to you because you're a nice guy, but it's addictive. It's how addictive is Crusader Kings? Not addicting, it's addictive. Okay, you're modifying the noun, so it's an adjective. It's addictive, not addicting. I'm glad you told us how addictive Crusader Kings trivium, guys. Pick up the Ultra Bundle today. Civilization takes the winds out of me. I cannot play for less than 6 hours minimum. Crusader Kings, I just go on a wild bender playing that game, and I leave it then for 4 or 5 years and then come back to it. I have got all of the bells and whistles for Crusader Kings 3, but I've not dared touch it because I fear it's wrecking my life. So I just collect the DLC, basically. You know, what a waste of money. Then I'm going to hit some super thanks from various people. And there's been quite a few of those as well. Henrik says on last week's, has Britain reached the tipping point? What island is not part of the Schengen area because it has a permanent opt-out, same as the UK did because of the Good Friday Agreement and the common travel area between UK, Ireland and the Crown dependencies? He, by which he means the person I was reviewing and in that particular video, is mixing up the customs union with that. I think you absolutely need a separate Irish visa and a clearing passport control to enter Ireland if you were to fly there from France. None of this has anything to do with Brexit and everything to do with the Troubles. There is no hard border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland because of that, because of the Troubles. The only loophole is that anyone who manages to get into Ireland can just casually go to the UK and vice versa, EU or no EU. If you travel through Ireland, questions should be asked of the Irish authorities for letting him in at Dublin Airport. Very informative and excellent. Super thanks from Henrik there. Sam Osborne says, this is an old video called The Rightoid Trap, the Rightoid Illusion Exposed, MAGA Reform, UK GOP, all the same, right? This was when I had, if you watch that video, I have friends involved in the organizational side of my local Restore branch, says Sam Osborne. I have insisted on them drumming this into their ear of every single one of them not on board and get the F out. That's my video on the Rightoid Illusion. Will it make a difference? Probably not. But in my opinion, it's cultivating the minds of young men in this way, which will bring change rather than through any quote-unquote based party. That, I think, is the utility of Restore at the moment, bringing based young men together and getting them organized, getting them to think about networking, etc. Thank you, as always. Your content sort of changed my life in how I process information and such. Well, thank you very much for that, Sam Osborne. And that's one of the many reasons I wish to return to education and get off the take merchant train, as it were, because I think that that's probably where I will have most value for people, is getting them to think in a different way, getting them to read the right sorts of things. And I don't want the signals being mixed up because you happen to disagree with my take on this slop issue or that slop issue, or, you know, whether I agree with Starmer banning social media for kids, because all of that stuff is a distraction and it's nonsense and it's drama. And it's, you know, it's just, I'd rather get off all of that and cut away those things that do not serve for the greater good, for the higher good. So, yeah, thanks a lot. And I've had lots of nice messages. I get lots of nice messages like that from people all of the time. And I'm always touched and heartened when people say stuff like that. He also says, he said the same message twice. Hopefully he's not charged twice for that. I have no idea if YouTube give refunds if you make a mistake or not. A couple more of the Super Chats come things. William Spaniel is perfect for this kind of live, short videos that are dense with information. And Broman Henk says, yes, I just get bottled water. South Africa is a good case study for the grid debate you had a while back, by the way. Yes, isn't it? Isn't it just? Yes, and who's this William Spaniel? You've sent a number. Maybe we'll have a look. There's a little bit of time here. William Spaniel. 15-minute. Okay, let's give Spaniel a chance. You've spammed enough for the Spaniel that I'm willing to give him a chance before we get out of here. Let's see if there's any more stuff to be gleaned from this story. I do not hold great hopes because, as far as I'm concerned, as long as Netanyahu's involved, you might as well. There's no deal worth anything while that country's involved, while Netanyahu specifically is involved. Why do I say that? Because they crossed every red line. They've broken every deal. They've shown themselves to be bad faith actors. They're aggressive. They never listen to anybody else. That's why I say that. And, frankly, it's just boring to discuss at this point, isn't it? you know, I think everybody's just had fatigue on them, on that issue. I certainly have. Anyway, let's wait for this William Spaniel video to... Let's do it. William Spaniel. By popular demand, by several super chats worth. This better be worth it, chat. It better be worth it. I was about to wrap up.
Is ever as it seems anymore. And even simple declarations bring deeper intrigue, which we are now going to have to spend today unpacking. As is likely clear, I am referring to the Iran deal, circa June 2026.
His voice really reminds me of somebody. Who does he remind me of? Who was that guy back in the day who used to do like the animated kind of animated videos, the rules for radicals and all of that? What was that guy's name? I forget his name. It's kind of that cadence, isn't it? What's the name of that channel, guys? It was like that. That was like a millions and millions of followers on that channel.
Now, I thought I knew what to do when I heard its announcement.
Not Vernaculous. What was his name? Rules for Radicals. What was the name of that video? Rules for Radicals. No, not Rules for Rulers. That was it. Rules for Rulers. CP Gray. CGP Gray. He sounds like CGP Gray. It's that kind of voice.
Sure, it seems like we have been here 67 times before. But this time, they assure me it is real. Third parties seem to be indicating as much, and there will be a signing ceremony on Friday. Anyway, we could simply look at the terms and have a nice early retrospective on the war and where it situates the U.S. political and military positions for the next handful of years. Easy as that. Well, the thumbnail for this video said, "What's in the deal?" You might have read that as a question that this video would answer. But no. That is an ongoing question.
Because he doesn't bloody know, because they haven't been released. Brilliant.
And that is actually a more interesting point. Hence, we need to spend most of today unpacking the drama surrounding that, with a side of discussion on how to ensure compliance with whatever deal forms, paired with a...
The guy in the chat saying you're looking forward to the new content, sounds like Cigar Stream, etc. Well, I hope you look forward to it. You better bloody watch it. Because it took me long enough to make it all. You know, everybody says that they've had enough of slop, but they still watch the slop, don't they? What I want you to do is use your reveal preference to show that there's still a place on YouTube for intelligent, educational content that is also politically informative. We need to be the change we want to see. No point complaining about it. I have to shine the light. I have to be the light. But it can't work unless you all actually bloody watch the videos.
Tasteful amount of lines on maps. Trump announced that a deal had been reached late Sunday afternoon in a Truth Social post, which limited the details to toll-free passage through the Strait of Hormuz and the end of the U.S. blockade. Further details were less forthcoming, as Trump was then preoccupied with cage fighting on the White House lawn, and then immediately departed for the G7 summit in France. No doubt Iranian politics will dominate the discussions there. For further details, we have to scrape a bit further. About an hour before Trump's post, Iranian state media published an article discussing a 14-point plan. English language outlets have picked up on it and treated it like Iran's version of the deal, which is probably not the right interpretation, unless you take those words literally. Iran's version of the deal, rather than Iran describing what is in the deal. It reads like a typical publication from the last, say, 2 months. A lot of talk about what Iran wants, but no claim that this is the actual deal that the parties agreed to.
All right. I have to say, I regret. I knew this would be a waste of time. Not watching William Spaniel. I mean, the whole stream. I hate the Iran war story at this point. Every time I talk about it, it drains the life out of me. Yet, I have remained calm. Those of you who follow me on the Academic Agent Mindset channel, I am not losing. I think it's fair to say I don't lose my calm streak or my lack of anger streak over this stream. I remained calm, even though, in fairness, I was a bit cranky and a bit moody. I didn't lose my temper. A little bit tetchy, maybe. It's kind of, you know, there's just been a new moon, which, you know, can cause issues. But in general, I'm not feeling, maybe this is the last time. Unless some, I tell you what, short of them bombing the shit out of each other again, I think this may be the last time I'm dealing with this story. I knew it. I knew, even when I thought, oh, right, something's actually happened. Really, nothing's happened. That's really the true moral of anything to do with Trump and the Iran war. Go on, go outside and look at the blueness of the sky, ladies and gentlemen. Be grateful for all of the things that you have, and you'll enjoy life a bit more. Goodbye.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.